Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it. Say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. That's what you're saying amen to, and amen to God's gift that He keeps on giving us, and that's His love, His mercy, and His grace. And without Him, we would be nowhere. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 43 through verses number 48. We shall revisit those in a minute. But first of all, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous God in heaven, You have blessed us once again, and we thank You, O Lord. We thank You because we are still enjoying a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We're still enjoying life itself, O Lord, and we thank You for these things. We thank You, O Lord, that You filled our stomachs with food this morning. We thank You that You left a roof over our head on last night. We thank You, O Lord, that You woke us up this morning. We thank You for so many things, Lord, and sometimes the best that we can say is simply thank You, Lord. We can never repay You, but we can simply but say thank You. We pray this morning for the church here at Stony Island, and we pray for the services that have been rendered thus far and for those services that shall be rendered from this point on forward. We thank You for the leadership here and their families. We thank You for the membership and their families, and we thank You, O Lord, that You might continue to bless us. We thank You this morning, Father, that You have taken care of the sick and the shut-in, and we pray for them as we continue in prayer for the list that keeps growing, O Lord. And we just know that You are already aware of the sickness that's going on around us, and we thank You, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that these services will be blessed and that we can say something this morning that may help someone along the way, and including ourselves, each other, as well as myself, O Lord. We just pray and thank You for everything. We pray and thank You especially for the leaders of this world as they continue to try and come together in a peaceful solution to world crises. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the crises that's going on in our very town right before our very eyes. We just pray, O Lord, that You step in and put an end to such all this violence that's going on. Wake up, shake the people, and make them realize, O Lord, that it is You who we need to serve and not the streets. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You do for us, and we pray and ask You to be with each and every member here now as we move on into our service. But most of all, we thank You that You sent Your Son down to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Be with us now, O Heavenly Father, as we move on into this next portion. Watch over and keep us, and if the things that we do are found acceptable in Thy sight, please continue to bless us, Father. And all these things that we ask in the name of the One who went up Calvary's hill to mount the cross of Calvary, to hang, to bleed, and to die, we ask it all in His name's sake. Amen. Many sermons have been preached and heard on these few verses of Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Certainly there has been much said about Jesus touching someone. But in this instance, we have a woman touching Jesus. After touching Him, her whole life was changed. Most preachers have message after message on how we should stay close to Jesus and the benefits thereof. Here we have the results of how a person's life was affected through a touch and having faith. That is, who and what she believed in shows us that who and what she believes in can make a difference. There, in her faith, there was a belief that she knew that Jesus would be able to heal her. And in our lives as well, we ought to understand that Jesus is able to heal us. Today, as we look at this gem, we can see the goodness of the Lord. So this morning, I ask the question, who touched Jesus? Who touched Jesus? Number one, let us look at the woman who touched Jesus. In these verses of chapter 8, verses 43 through 48 of Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, we find out that there was a woman. In verse number 43, the Bible says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Here we have a woman who has been suffering for her 12 long years. Now, I don't know how old this woman was or how old this woman may have been at that time, but she had an issue of blood disorder. Something was wrong with her body. And we all know when something is wrong with our bodies, something is wrong with us. This woman had faith enough to know that if she could but touch not the whole garment of Jesus, but simply the hem of His garment, she would be satisfied. Notice, if you will, her history there in verse 43, where it said she had suffered for 12 long years. Now, most of us, we get a headache and it lasts a few hours and we're ready to throw in the towel and say, "I give up." But this woman had suffered for 12 years. Now, I don't know what this woman, what her living was, but she had spent all of her living. The Bible does not tell us if she was well off, nor if she had to go into her 401k plan to afford all of these treatments. But what it does tell us is that not only had she spent all of her living, it tells us that no doctor had been able to cure her. What we know is that this being a blood issue, it became a life issue as well. In Leviticus chapter 17, verses number 11, the Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." So if something is wrong with our blood, something is going on in the blood, there's a problem with life. We also know that man could not stop or cure this issue of blood. When man can't fix what man can't fix, God is able. God is still able to make it all right. A couple of things has transpired or had transpired in this lady's life. Number one, she was desperate. Number two, she was helpless. And number three, she was now penniless. Church, God has a habit of showing up when we need Him the most. She came to touch the Lord's garment, and through her faith, she was healed and helped. She found herself much better after coming to Jesus than before she came to Jesus. When your lives have become more than we can bear or more than you can bear, we must reach out for Jesus. We touch Him through prayer today. Whether in a crowd like this one, what the Bible describes as a multitude, or whether we are by ourselves, we need to learn to call on Jesus and touch Jesus. Does God still answer prayer? Well, what He did for Solomon in 1 Kings, in the verses of chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, Solomon asked for wisdom, didn't he, church? He asked for wisdom, but God was so pleased with his petition that He gave him not only wisdom, but He also gave him riches, honor, and long life as well. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. I'm saying that this woman in our text knew why she needed to touch Jesus, because men could not help her. Only Jesus could, as with us today. The state of the world is in such disarray, and only Jesus can get us out of the situation that we're in today. So now we got a little background on this woman. We want to notice this woman's decision. This woman had her mind made up that she was going to touch the garment of Jesus. In the last 12 years of her life, no doubt, had been full of misery and turmoil. Having been seen by many doctor after doctor, perhaps receiving false hope after false hope. Perhaps even some of these doctors even promised her of a cure. But none. Do you hear me? Zero. Nothing. None of them have provided a cure. The Bible lets us know in verse number 44. Look at verse number 44, if you will. She came behind Jesus. She came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. And immediately her blood stanched. What does that mean? That means her blood stopped flowing. The blood that was coming out of her stopped flowing. What are you saying, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying that Jesus can do it when man can't do it. That's all I'm saying. After seeing all these doctors and none of them was able to provide a cure, The Bible lets us know that once she simply touched the crowd, touched Jesus, even coming through the crowd, she was healed. Not only to simply be a part of the crowd wasn't enough. Her coming was for her to become a life-changing event. For us today, we too need to reach out for the Master who brings new life to diseased, weary, and wasted souls. Her needs needed to a meeting with the power and the strength of Jesus Christ, of whom is in charge of both body and soul. Whether we be in need of physical relief, whether we be in need of soul-saving relief, Christ is the one to turn to. Watch what the apostle wrote in Galatians chapter 2 and the verses number 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse ought to give comfort to a Christian to let us know that we have a dependency on Christ Jesus. We can always count on Christ Jesus when it comes to our living and our health. We can always count on Him. No matter what our shortcomings may be, we can bring them to Him. We can bring them to Jesus. This lady knew. She knew even that though her pressing need, she too could depend upon Christ. Her attitude when she left home was that of a need to touch Jesus, or even just the hem of His garment. Even though the crowd was great, once again the Bible describes it as a multitude, as the text describes it. This woman presents some lessons for us today. What are the lessons, preacher, that she presents for us? Number one, don't let people get between you and Jesus. Number two, don't become discouraged, as in her case, with doctor after doctor. Number three, reach for Jesus when you can't go any further on your own. God has both the power and the ability to fix everything and all things. We watched Jesus and the Word bring the dead back to life when He stopped by a funeral in Luke chapter 7. I watched through His Word give sight to the blind in Matthew chapter 9. I watched Him through the Word open up a seafood buffet out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in Matthew chapter 14. Don't tell me that Jesus won't do the same for us today as He did for those people back then. I tell you, Jesus is all right today, church. Jesus is all right, and this woman, no doubt, after suffering for 12 years. Now, can you just count that up, if you will? 1 full year, 2 full years, and so on and so forth, up until 12 years she had suffered with this issue of blood. And if you don't believe me, go back to verse number 43 in the moment, and the Bible says, and a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, she had spent everything or all her living, not some of it, but all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any. But then in verse number 44 it says, she came behind Him and touched the border of His garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. When you look at it, church, this woman not only knew that she needed to get through the crowd and get to Jesus, just like we have to get to Jesus today. And I ask the question today, many of us can never be accused of touching Jesus because we won't get close enough to Him. Many of us some of us would always deny. If Jesus asked the question, who touched me? Just like He did in the text, some of us would without a doubt be able to say it wasn't me. So we need to get closer to Jesus Christ. So, and when you look at this, there's a confession that this woman made. Let us look at this picture, if you will. There were people all around, but this woman managed to get through to Jesus. What are you saying? I'm saying that no matter who's around you, no matter how many people are around you, no matter what your family say, no matter what the church folks say, you've got to reach out and touch Jesus if you want His healing and His blessings to come upon you. And I know that there are some today who are sick. I know that there are many who are sick today and looking for the healing touch of Jesus. Perhaps some of them haven't went to Jesus and reached out to touch Him. Perhaps Jesus has already answered some of them and said, you don't need to be healed right now. Just let my grace be sufficient unto you. Many might say, well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and I can't seem to get an answer. Well, the answer sometimes is closer than you can even think about it. Sometimes you don't even see the answer and it's right there in front of you. So she needed to get through this crowd so she could get to Jesus. And if we but reach out to Him and believe on Him, we have faith in Him, we can do the same. We can be the same. After finally touching Jesus, the Bible says she was immediately healed. What power there is through Jesus Christ. What power we can have today if we just but reach out and touch Jesus. All we have to do is just pray and ask Him to touch us, to allow us to touch Him and to be healed from whatever our situation is going on in our lives. In verse number 45, look at the text. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? When all, you see what happens here? All denied. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and oppress there and press thee and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, Peter spoke up and said, Lord, with all these people around us, how can you ask the question, who touched me? With all of this crowd that's here, how would we know that who touched you? But Jesus knew right away. Jesus knows everything. He knows all about it already. But Jesus said that he asked the question. He said, who touched me? There's a lesson there for us too. We must get close to Jesus in order that He may know us as His own. And somebody may say, well, how can we be sure we are His? Well, look no further than John chapter 10 and verse number 14, where the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and are known of mine. I may as well put this out here while I'm here too. If Jesus would have stopped by this church house last week during the gospel meeting, many of us would have missed Him because you were not here. In other words, if it wasn't important enough for you to serve Him during the meeting, I guess. If you were sick or you were working, you had an excuse. If you were taking care of the sick, perhaps you had an excuse. But if not, I ask the question this morning, what will you tell the Lord when you meet Him? Do you think that because it wasn't Sunday morning, you don't think that you should have been here? Well, I read in the Bible that when the church assembles itself together, that means when the doors are open, you ought to be here. So some of you forsake the meeting last week. And if you were here, I'm not talking to you. If you were not here, then I'm addressing you. And you got to learn to be where Christ wants us to be. And if he had came through and stopped by here and somebody wanted to touch Him, you would not have been accused of touching Him because you would not have been here. And I may as well tell you, don't get mad at the elders because they didn't know I was going to even say that. They didn't have anything to do with me saying that. So that's on Brother Carter. If you got a bone to pick, pick it with me. If you wasn't here, you just wasn't here. And you should have been here. But then when you think about it, some of us might have used the excuse, I was afraid to come out after dark. Well, I got some news for you. Some of our eldest members were here. And they came out after dark. And they stayed until after the service and the festivities were over as well. And I'm not going to call any names, but they were here. Some young folk who have children made it here as well. So once again, where were you? So when you think about it, church, if Jesus came, would you be accused of touching Him? Would you be able to answer the question that Jesus asked, who touched me in verse number 45? Verse number 46 said, Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. As a matter of fact, when it comes to looking back and reflecting on this past week, I think about it even more so because I wondered where you were at. And I wondered, just in the heart of, in your heart and in your soul, did you feel that it was right to me? Let me just go a little further with it, as a matter of fact. If the membership won't support the meeting, how can you expect visitors to support the meeting? We can't count on visitors, and I know one day in the meeting, one of the meetings, we had more visitors than we had church members. That's a sad commentary. But I'm going to move along because I know you want me to if you wasn't here. Let me get back to my message. This woman knew where Jesus was going to be, and she put herself in the midst thereof. So Jesus wanted to know, who touched me? But notice verse number 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, here's what I want you to see, church. She came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. She confessed to Jesus. Church, and sometimes we have to come up front and confess to the church that I've been wrong and I need some spiritual guidance, or I need some spiritual prayer. But yet many folk don't like to come forward and say, I need to make a confession, because that tells too much about them, they think. Well, that's a whole nother subject, and I'm not going to linger on that, but if you've done wrong and you need to ask God for forgiveness, what better place to ask Him than in the church with your brothers and sisters and ask for the prayer of the righteous? For the Bible says the prayer of the righteous, a righteous man availeth much. Now, I'm not going to call the name of a righteous man in here because I might be wrong, but I tell you what, the Bible says it, and I can quote it like that. So Jesus wanted to know who touched him. And she confessed to Jesus why she had touched him. The text says, look at it again. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She didn't mind telling Jesus why she came and touched him. Before she touched Jesus, no relief had come unto her. That relief that she got was the relief of her, all the relief that she got was the relief of her living. In other words, they took everything she had from her when she was trying to be healed. But Jesus made everything all right. Jesus pronounced it himself in verse number 48, once again, where he said, the woman is healed, how she was healed immediately. In verse number 48, Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, in other words, go in peace. You're well enough. You're off on your own now. When Jesus makes a pronunciation, you can bet, you can believe it's all right. God said she was all right, and she was. But I tell you, church, whether we are having problems with sickness, problems with or in our home, or perhaps even problems on the job, or perhaps you're not happy with your own being, first you gotta have faith. Then you gotta touch Jesus through prayer. He may not fix you right away, but He just wants us to come to Him. For He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30, He said, come unto me, not the next door neighbor, but come unto me, all ye that labor in a heavy lading, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you need to come to Jesus this morning. You need to come while you still can. You need to come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. This woman came to Jesus, although she was bleeding. And I don't know the exact nature of her illness. All I know is that it was an issue of blood. Does this lady in our text know something that we don't know? Does this lady in our text know that something that we don't know, or was she just willing to try Jesus? And so I ask the question this morning of you. Are you willing to try Jesus? Are you willing to ask Jesus for whatever your needs are through prayer? See, we can't touch Him like this woman touched Him in the physical. We have to go through in prayer. Jesus offers His sheep much more than salvation. He can bring us peace in an unpeaceful world, joy in a world full of despair, security in an insecure society. But most of all, He gives for us in our end. He gives us for in our end, as Job said in Job chapter 27 and verse number 8. For what hope has the godless when he is cut off? In other words, if you believe in Him, you can have hope. But the godless have no hope. What good is it when God, when He is cut off from His life? We have been now given hope through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Maybe, just maybe, maybe some don't touch Jesus, maybe some don't touch Jesus through their service. Well, then you need to step up your service. Maybe some don't touch Jesus through their giving. Then you need to give better. Maybe some don't touch Jesus through their healing, then through their helping others, then you need to help others more. How can I help others more, preacher? How can I help myself, preacher? Well, you can help yourself by reading the Bible, studying God's Word, and doing His will. And when it comes to helping others, oh, that's a whole different subject when it comes to helping others. You've got to reach out to others. And I know what some say. Some say that's the job of the church. Well, who are you? If you're not part of the church, then I ask the question this morning, why are you here? So when it comes to helping others, your phone works just as well as my phone. Your giving and your helping help just as well as my giving and my helping. Your service works just as well as my service to the Lord. And we had a short, simple discussion about it in Bible class this morning about giving. Well, I may as well approach the subject for another minute or two. I got another minute or two here. I'm going to take another minute or two either way. But nevertheless, when it comes to giving, I agree with what the sister said this morning. There's no reason why we should not be meeting the budget. There's no reason. Well, yes, there is. I'll tell you what the reason is. The reason is you want more money in your pocket than in God's collection tray. That's the reason. If I give to the church like I'm supposed to, I won't have enough money to get my hair done, ladies. If I give to the church like I'm supposed to, I can't buy no new shoes, brothers. If I give to the church like I'm supposed to, I won't have gas to go from A to B. But I tell you something, when you give like you're supposed to, you have the option of God giving back more to you than you gave to Him. Was it in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, that didn't God say, will ask the question, will a man rob God? The answer to the question, yes, a man will rob God. But then He said, if you give me righteously, if you give unto me, I will open up the windows of heaven and give you blessings that you cannot stand. You cannot understand all the blessings that I'll give you. But I tell you what, church, trying to hold back a few dollars from the church is not going to do you very much good. And I know what you say. If I keep this in my pocket, I can do some things with it. Well, the church can do some things with it too. And the church does do some things with it. Do you realize that with the church, we sometimes have to spend money? Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Look how cool it is in here right now. The church has to pay the light bill. And if you know how hot it's been this summer, I didn't hear anybody in here not one day during that real hot weather say, it sure is hot in here, because you were cool. The church has to pay that bill just like you have to pay your bill at home. And when it comes to eating, somebody has to provide food for the needy. And we do that through our pantry here. So that means somebody went out and spent some money and brought something to the pantry. And while I'm there, I may as well tell you I'm still accepting donations for the pantry. So when you bring your donations, that means you have spent some of your money on donations. That's helping, church. And then, for instance, when we have services like we had at the meeting where we feed the folk after the service is over, that takes money too. That's fellowship money. That's money to reach out to other saints. So yes, your money does help the church. And I'm not going to harp on that because I want you to know a little bit more about that woman who came to Jesus. When she came to Jesus, the point I liked the best of all was that she was healed immediately. In Luke chapter 8, in those verses of 43 through 48, she was healed immediately. She didn't have to go home and rest. She didn't have to take no prescription medication. She didn't have to take no drugs. She didn't have to do anything. Jesus told her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Go on your way. You're well now." So Jesus can fix us in an instant. But we've just got to touch Him. How do I touch Him today? Well, I touch Him through prayer. I touch Him because I can't reach out and touch His garment right now. But I can reach Him through my words that will go all the way, I hope, to heaven. When I pray, I'm hoping that my prayer would be heard, just like you're hoping that your prayer will be heard. It'll be heard, but you're hoping that you get an answer, just like I'm hoping that I get an answer and some results. So when we reach out to touch Jesus, we ought to have enough faith to believe that He will answer these prayers that you're praying. Because this woman had faith and belief enough to know that if she could just but touch the hem of it, touch His garment. And she just managed to touch a little portion of it. Do you know how big the garment or the hem of a garment is? Not very much at all, but that's all she touched. That's all she touched. And she was cured immediately. So when you get into your troubled times, you need to go to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that He's going to answer you just like He answered her. I'm not even saying that He'll answer you at all. But one thing I do know is that God is able if He wants to. That's up to Him. He makes those decisions. But we must reach out to Him. So if you don't want to be guilty of answering the question, "Who touched me?" then you need to come closer to Jesus Christ. How do I come closer to Jesus Christ? Well, I come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then going down in the watery grave of baptism. But some say, "Well, I did that long time ago. I've already been there." But some kind of way you may have walked astray, and you need to come back home. You need to come back and ask Jesus to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may gather strength and to continue on this journey. You know, life is but a journey. We're just pilgrims passing through this way.
Amen.
We don't have a lot of time. And if most of us in here have had more days behind us than we've got coming to us.
Amen.
So we need to be aware of these things when we ask the Lord for our needs. So if that's your desire, we together stand and sing the song of invitation.